Well, good morning. And before I kind of give everyone kind of where we're at, Michelle, a mother, partly because my Bible is torn where it's some of the section is I would like to read, and I don't want to mess it up. Of Luke 1, and it's actually Mary's song at 6 through 6. Get others to maybe give me a signal if you'd be willing to read that, and then when I read, then I'll have you. So, what's that? Oh, okay. Oh, do we need to dismiss the kids? And for the we can dismiss the children's church. So there are a lot of new faces, and there are a lot of familiar faces, but Michelle and I were in Southeast, I think, what, about 5 or 6 years ago? 5 or 6 years ago, I worked with Steve, came on as an intern and then as an associate. We went back to Hawaii for a few years where we, I worked in the federal prisons, but I also worked as a pastor in Hawaii and participated in a church plant, and we've kind of had kids along the way. We kids as we travel from state to state so that they're born in different states. And we've been pretty successful there. And some of you don't know this, but Michelle is pregnant with her fourth. So we'll have two born in California, one born in Pennsylvania, one born in Hawaii. So I think maybe California might be our home since we have more kids going to be born here. But we are California, and we were just brought on to Bakersfield First Church as family pastors. We were in State College, Pennsylvania before that, where I worked as a senior pastor for a church there, and Michelle helped out immensely there. It was a smaller church that had gone through a lot of struggles, and we came on board there. And at the same time as we've had kids and worked in churches, I've promoted up through the corrections world, and now I am working out in a correctional facility in Taft, California, which is about 30 minutes from Bakersfield. So I'm there, and this week's official, we'll start at Bakersfield First Nazarene Church as family pastors and help out with the children's program and whatever Tim and Shauna Gaines might need. And Tim and Shauna Gaines were the pastors here, or not here, they worked here for a period of time doing different things, and we connected with them up there in Bakersfield. So it's been an interesting journey, and God has been leading us all the way and confirming our moves. They haven't been easy moves, but every move we know that God has been leading us to a new place. And God had to be very convincing about my move to Bakersfield. I have to be honest with you. It was not top on my list of places to go. And when we were driving around the first couple of days, I was really struggling with that. And once we got to the church, I just had a sense of peace that this is where God was bringing us. And we're excited to be there. And I got to be honest, I don't miss the weather from the East Coast either. But God has been faithful with us along the way. And that's kind of where we're at. Anything else, Michelle? Did I miss anything?
Yep.
All right. So, did I get any mother volunteers out there for Mary's song? I know that's a big. All right. I couldn't look is where I'm torn that section out of my Bible there. Okay, I wanted to start there, and I hadn't really planned on starting there, but I wanted to start there, kind of get the mindset, this, and I told Steve this, you know, I learned as far as how to preach, and I, just like Steve, I go systematically through the scriptures. Today is not that day, and it gets me a little bit uncomfortable when I'm not following along with a set passage. But for Mother's Day, I wanted to change it, and this is really kind of a presentation of the honor that I believe God gives mothers, that is inherent, that we understand as children, and that moms understand and should understand as moms. That no matter, and I know our biological mom may not be that person in our lives. I know this. In certain periods of our lives, there's going to be other moms that speak into our lives, that speak that wisdom. And I because she has this presence of the Holy Spirit come her, and she speaks down wisdom, not just as her being a mother, but as a mother, right? Because when a child is born, generations change. Things change. And the development of children and motherhood and all the things that go into that apparently changes with that. And she makes this proclamation that is really quite remarkable, and just a testimony to her as a mother, and really I think to mothers in general. And so I wanted to start there, and now I want to go to Proverbs 9. All right, I take that back. Proverbs 8. And if I laid this out kind of on a 3-point series, I would note like the mother's wisdom, and then the next point, if I had my, you know, my screen up here, which I don't ever have, I would have how we honor our mothers, and then how our mothers are really much like that, the grace of God in our lives. And those would be my 3 points. So as I'm preaching, hopefully I'll hit those points. But those are kind of the points that I want to highlight. But let's look at Proverbs 8. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Besides the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries out loud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple gain prudence. You who are foolish gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just, and none of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. And I'm going to stop there. And what I want to ask, I'll put it out there, why is Solomon personifying wisdom as a female? Any females want to answer that one? Kat? Kat's got the biggest smile on her face. Anybody want to grapple that one? Why wisdom personified as a woman's voice? There's no shame here. Go ahead, Kat. No, I think there's some real good strong wisdom. Solomon had some influential folks in his life. Why? And maybe this is just my experience. When I think about my childhood growing up and becoming a young man, I remember many times the wisdom that my mom brought into my life through her love, her words, her care, and those people that in some cases filled her role. And it was that female voice in my life. Now, in my case, and again, this may just be me, I remember when my dad did the disciplining side, right? So in my life, I remember the disciplining side from my dad, right? It's like when I didn't get mom's wisdom, dad kind of reassured that wisdom was the correct wisdom to go with. Now, does that kind of ring true a little bit more? Anybody want to raise a hand to that one? Mom spoke the wisdom, dad reinforced it. I think there's something to that female voice. Now, Solomon is clearly, he's lifting up the two female voices, right? Before this, he lifts up this female voice of temptation and sin and destruction. And it's in this kind of a dark place, and it's kind of in the corners trying to lurk and pull people in. And then he presents this female voice of wisdom proclaiming out to all mankind, listen to me. Right? Listen to what I have to tell you. You who are simple. And praise God, I'm simple. I will embrace that all day long, because if I keep myself there, I know who my God is. I know where the wisdom is at. Right? The moment I think I'm anything beyond that simplicity is the moment you make the mistakes like David made. That you forget the humility that we should really understand in the presence and in the place that God speaks that wisdom into our life. And, you know, we opened up with the reading in Genesis. And before I get there, I want to kind of talk to you like in my life, right? When I look at Michelle, my wife, and I see the wisdom that she is imparting on on my children, right? And it's not always in the words. It's the wisdom in patience. It's in the wisdom in the 2 o'clock in the morning, getting up and taking care of sick kids and patiently loving them. That is wisdom, like moving out into the lives of our family, right? And Sister Gussie, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking like Michelle, Sister Gussie, Vonda, like, these women that were in my life that had that profound wisdom to speak. And God love her. I love Sister Gussie, right? You know, she I always thought was my equal, you know? Like I have this kind of thing where I have sarcasm if you don't know me. And I tend to like to rub salt in wounds and stuff. But Sister Gussie was like my equal, and I could never really get one over on her, and she always spoke wisdom in my life. And in that short period of time that I was blessed to be a part of Sister Gussie's life, her wisdom rings in my life now, right? Every time Judge Judy comes on the TV, I thank God for Sister Gussie. And she and Brother Smith, I'm glad you're here. I mean, because she was such a presence in my life. And as I was thinking about her wisdom, that's the voice for me, you know. And when I think about that grace and that care, I look at my wife. And here's what I want you to see. You know, when I think about like Mary and how she's been given this anointing of caring for this child, and I think like my wife, when I come into the room, into our bedroom, like I got Grace, Hannah, Corbin, 3 cats and a dog, all trying to crowd around Michelle like she's the nucleus of their world. Right now, I think I'm a relatively good guy. I don't run around beating the animals and the kids. But they know, all of them, whether they're the animal or a human being, that Michelle's mom. Right? They know who to come to find that thing that they need, that embrace, that grace, and that love. And that's wisdom, right? That's wisdom. We got a king-size bed. I told her we have to get a California king because, you know, between, and the cats and the dog don't like each other, but when Michelle's there, everyone's kind of tolerating each other, even the kids, just to be near my wife. And I always get a chuckle and try and find my little edge on the bed. And but do you see in creation? God's created glory, motherhood, as a part of that creation in the inception of creation, right? That when God said, you know, and brought the world into being, and Adam and Eve, and motherhood, and he created them in his image, we have to understand there that women created in that same image of God. Like, they have taken that part of the grace of God and the love of God and that creativeness in the raising of children and the grace that comes with that and the patience and the love and all the things, that's from God. That's a part of his image. And when we think about mother, I want when I think about those three points, like that wisdom and that honor and that Christ-likeness, that's God's image given to us, whether it be our natural mom or that person in our life that said, I'm going to care for you as if you were mine. And that was much of my life. You know, my high school year, I ended up living with my best friend from basically my freshman year all the way up to my senior year. And she was about as big as this music stand here, right? But, I mean, everyone knows, like, if you're that big, there's usually a lot bigger presence in that size there. And she was just like that. And I fully knew, like, who was running the roost there. And I was like, I got to stay on Barbara's good side because I know, you know, I'm here and nobody's really talked about this. I'm living with my best friend. And Barbara was like, you know, pretty much the only rule you have other than don't get in trouble is you're going to go to church on Sunday. Period. You're going to live in this house and you're going to help out and do whatever. You're going to go to church on Sunday. Thank God for that wisdom, right? Thank God for that wisdom because I guarantee you my life was heading towards the other side of incarceration. Had she not said, you're going to go to church if you're going to live with us. But there's that voice in our lives of these mothers and that female voice, that wisdom that calls out. Hear me. That calls out. It calls out to our heart. And that is the image of God that I think practically we can embrace and say, for whoever lives, that's the image of God that's guiding and directing and speaking into our lives. And that's the honor I want to give to all the mothers that have chosen that for their lives. They said, I want to be a mom. And Carrie, I have to say, right? So Carrie was hanging out with us yesterday, and it was a big day. It was Balboa Park, and kids and sun and all day long. And I forget what you said, Carrie, but I laughed and laughed and laughed because the job never ends. It's not like you go home and put your feet up and say, whoo, you know, you just left it all somewhere else. The job's always running around you with the chaos. And that takes a special person to really take that on. And I want this message to honor that. And whether you are that mom or that mom was your mom, let's just keep that in honor. And I know the challenge that comes with Mother's Day, and all of that. But I know inherently there's always that person in our life that filled that role. So I wanted to start there with the wisdom. And I want to now go to Matthew. and I want to kind of support what I'm saying. And I want to read Matthew 23:37. And let me do a little bit of the backstory here before we get into this, because if you don't know a little bit of the backstory here, you don't really get the full impact of what Jesus is saying here. So Jesus has just kind of locked horns with the Pharisees and the scribes, and he's really pronounced this kind of this death cry to them, this woe language, woe unto you. You know, you're basically Israel. You're not accepting what I'm having to tell you. And it's kind of that funeral cry. Like, woe unto you. And I don't know if that translates really well in our language. But it's that, it's just like destruction almost. It's just that Jesus is basically pronouncing that because you're not going to accept this, destruction is coming. Right? And I think as much as he's pronounced it, Jesus is realizing it too. And I don't want to push that too far, but when you read this section and when he gets done and he gets to the end and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So it's kind of this kind of finality that Jesus says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." His heart is breaking. And he uses that analogy. As a hen gathers her chicks. Right now, some of us have chickens. Michelle and I had chickens in Pennsylvania, but we didn't really get a good batch. But, you know, think about what Jesus is saying there, right? As a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Now, and I want to kind of build on that, that visual that Jesus is giving there. When we got internet TV not too long ago, and we're in Pennsylvania, and Michelle was excited about, they have these video cameras set up in these different animal things, and one of them was in an eagle's nest, and it was a mother eagle with her chicks, and it was live feed. So you're watching, you know, when she comes in to feed these chicks, she's there. Well, we were watching it, and Michelle had it on, and the eagle was in the box, and it was covered in like 3 inches of snow. And I was watching this, and I was thinking, like, should we call somebody? Is, you know, right? And then you saw the eagle move, and she's got her chicks underneath her. And now hear me, and maybe it's just me, and it takes a special creature to be that, right? And I said, I'm not a penguin, like the you know, the dad that takes care of the one egg, right? And I don't have that in me, right? You know, when Michelle would leave it, you know, she worked in City Tree, like, and I had Corbin, and I was kind of like, man, what do I do with this kid? And so we're watching Cops, right? And then I would put him in the baby Bjorn and go around the ghetto. And you know, to this day, he sings Bad Boys, right? And I know it's because he watched Cops from like 2 months old up till whenever. But creation echoes this. All that nonsense that's being talked about and creation, the fact that for his creatures be in gathering your chicks or that mom, us, It's inherent, and that's God's image. And Jesus here says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," as he's realizing that destruction is coming to them, "how I wanted to gather your children under my wings." That is the grace and the love of God that we see testifying into what we understand as moms, right? Practically speaking, and whomever they may be, that's the image of God. Praise God that every day, right? Now, let's go ahead and move towards the conclusion of this message, and I want to go to, where'd Tony go? Oh, is he good? All right. Tony was giving me a hard time because I had a bunch of scripture. He's like, "Oh, you're one of those kind of preachers." Let's see if I was doing all right because I was using a bunch of different scriptures to support my thoughts. Let's go to John 19, and this is where I want to close. John 19, 26. John 19, 26. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Do we see what's happening there? This is the Creator, right? Before the world was, right? The Creator is on the cross. He knows the beginning, he knows the end. He was there before anything. And he looks down at his mom from the cross. And he says, "John is now your son. He's going to take care of you." He makes sure that his mom is taken care of from the cross. Do you see what's happening there? And I've been to Ephesus. And I've been to the place that Mary lived. Even when John was in prison, he was making sure that Mary was taken care of. And do you think it coincidental that John is the one that lived the longest? Right? I don't think it coincidental. Right? When Peter is saying, "Well, why does he get to go? You know, why is it, you know?" And Jesus said, "Don't worry about that. Like, I have something for John." Well, John's taking care of his mom and the church. But he gave that responsibility, the care of his mom. Like, one of the last acts of Jesus on the cross was, "John, take care of my mom." That's the Creator. He knows one day his mom is going to be in glory with him. But at that moment, she was there. She needed the practical touch of John. And he chose God. And he said, "Take care of my mom." Can you imagine that if God himself placed that honor on Mary from the cross, he's doing this miraculous thing, bringing salvation into the world. And the fact that God would choose a mother to get this done, right? out of all the different avenues that God could have chose the salvation of the world to come through, he chose a mother. Right? When we think about the beginning, the first time it was the ark, right? The boat save creation, right? But it didn't cure the problem. We think of the Ark of the Covenant and the promise being held there. And we think about that prophecy back in Genesis that says that one day she will give birth and he will crush the head of the snake, right? He will crush sin. That God from creation chose a mother to ensure that salvation would come and be protected, because Jesus was a baby, just like every one of us. And God chose a mom. And he said, I'm sure he could have come up with a lot of different options. But he said, it's going to come through a mother. The creation and salvation and restoration of my world will come through a mother, through my son. And that's really where I want to close. And I'll have Steve, I'll have you come up and we'll get ready to do communion. But as we think about Mother's Day, and I hope, and I know I'm clear on this, that we have a responsibility to honor our mothers, whomever they might be. Because those folks in our lives are really the image of Christ that has that desire to bring us in into the fold. Bring us into that protection. Bring us into that forgiveness. Being set free. Right? To hear that voice of wisdom in our lives that makes sure that we're safe. Praise God. Steve, I'll have you come up.